when people talk about the Israel lobby, like name the Christian Zionist lobby within the Christian Zionist power within that. Name Christian Zionism as a power player in what's going on in Israel-Palestine.
Welcome to Unsettled, a podcast about Israel-Palestine and the Jewish diaspora. I'm Emily Bell. As attention turned to Israel-Palestine this spring, my Instagram was filled with explainer-style posts, breaking down timelines, key political players, and basic terms. Seeing the same posts circulating, I felt largely numb, overwhelmed, dismayed, and horrified by the news. This emotional combination was perhaps a result of being oversaturated from too much Instagram scrolling, perhaps disappointment in reductive media coverage, or perhaps I was just unable to fully process it. Then a different post caught my eye. It was an op-ed. Its headline, "Progressives Can't Ignore Role of Christian Zionism in Colonization of Palestine." When I sat down to read the op-ed, which was published on the website Truthout, it felt like the gears in my brain started turning. The piece, written by Aidan Orley and Jonathan Brenneman, started to make clear for me the connections between Christian Zionism, American politics, and support for the State of Israel. It was an analysis I was deeply missing on a topic that I knew little about. Over the past few years in progressive Jewish spaces, I'd heard some mention of the role Christians play in supporting the Israeli occupation of Palestine, but it wasn't the focus of conversations. For example, though I had heard of the organization Christians United for Israel, or CUFI, I hadn't heard of its founder, Pastor John Hagee, an 81-year-old Texan televangelist, who also has a sports center in an Israeli settlement named after him. Aidan Orley and Jonathan Brenneman's piece, "Progressives Can't Ignore Role of Christian Zionism in Colonization of Palestine," also left me with a lot more questions, not just about the origins of Christian Zionism, but also how it intersects with Jewish Zionism and organizations like AIPAC. In June, I sat down with Aidan and Jonathan. Aidan is an Israeli-American Ashkenazi Jew who is active in donor and social justice organizing, and Jonathan is a Palestinian-American Christian and activist. Here's our conversation. You'll hear from Aidan first. What is Christian Zionism?
Christian Zionism just fundamentally refers to Christians who also are Zionist, who ostensibly believe and or take action to promote and expand unilateral Jewish control in Palestine. There are many ways to be Christian and Zionist. However, when many talk about Christian Zionism, they're likely referring to a particular movement, primarily of evangelical Christians, who support the modern nation state of Israel and the relocation of Jews to the quote-unquote Holy Land in Palestine because they believe the relocation of Jews there will bring about Jesus' second coming. And part of this theology portends that Jesus' second coming will coincide with the end times or end of the world, whereby Christians will reach salvation and non-Christians, including Muslims and Jews, will be annihilated. So it's important to distinguish between Christian Zionism as this particular movement and Zionist Christians.
And I would just add that while Christian Zionism is strongest within evangelical circles and particularly fundamentalist evangelical circles, you'd be hard-pressed to find a Christian congregation in the U.S. in which there's not a single person in the pew that holds that theology. It's become that widespread within the United States, within Christianity in the U.S. specifically.
How many Christian Zionists are there today in the United States? And is there a way to accurately measure that?
The number of Christian Zionists in the U.S. today somewhat depends on how you define Christian Zionism. How many people self-describe that way, or how many people ascribe to the ideology. Something that we look to is the number of people who claim that Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. because that's a central claim of the Christian Zionist ideology. About 80% of evangelicals claim that. And about a quarter of the US population is evangelical Christian. That means something like 20% or 1 in 5 Americans ascribes to that belief. So we're talking about a huge number, a politically active number as well. So Christian Zionism is extremely broadly held, but a lot of people wouldn't even know to describe themselves that way because it's not very deeply held by those who ascribe to this ideology.
Just to add to that, 20% of the United States population is well in the tens of millions, which is far greater than there are even Jews in the world. So it's important to, given how often Jewish Zionism is talked about and how visible and well-known Jewish Zionism is, the contrast between how many Jewish Zionists there even could possibly even be is so much smaller than the number of Christian Zionists that exist today.
Can you break down a little bit the history of Christian Zionism, including when there was kind of the split or development between those who are Christian and Zionist and those who are followers of this very particular end times theology?
There's a lot of kind of bizarre theology that goes into it that I won't get into too much within Christian Zionism, but kind of a key concept is that you really started seeing it take shape at the height of the British colonial period, right? So we're talking mid 19th century, specifically in England, as England is kind of taking over the world, that Christians saw themselves as like God's Christian soldiers that had to bring about God's plan. And their reading of scripture said God's plan is that there will be, that Jews will return to historic Palestine. Christian Zionism actually predates political Jewish Zionism, predates Herzl by at least 50 years. And it really helped energize the fundamentalist movement in the US that came about in the early 20th century. And you see a lot of connections with the US fundamentalist movement that is extremely originally anti-Black and anti-women and anti-gay, that one of the things that is helping push that ideology is this Christian Zionist theology. And it really gets a boost in 1967 when Israel takes over Jerusalem. And fundamentalists could say, like, we told you so. Our ideology must be correct because we're seeing the things that we claimed would happen. And today you're actually seeing another shift where the dispensational theology isn't very popular anymore, but you have a prosperity gospel that says, if Christians bless Israel politically, God will bless them financially. And this is both being used within poor communities in the US and exported by evangelical missionaries around the world. Groups like Kufi have been targeting marginalized communities more and more, Latinx churches, Black churches in the US, and internationally, churches in developing countries. And particularly internationally, you'll have rich white missionaries coming into a community and saying, if you support Israel, or if your country, if your government supports Israel, you'll be financially blessed. And then those that go along with their idea have access to the monies of that church. And so there's a self-fulfilling prophecy that happens that helps to perpetuate Christian Zionism.
I'd like to talk more kind of about the assumptions that people think of when they hear the word Zionism. I think that when a lot of people hear the word Zionism, there is that assumption that there's the word Jewish in front of it. Even though, like what you're saying, Aiden, there is this really disproportionate number comparison when you break that down. What do you all think is responsible, if anything can be placed as directly responsible for this perception? And what do you think are some of the impacts of the assumption regarding the word Zionism?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do assume that Zionism is Jewish Zionism, or like when Zionism is referred to is referring to Jewish Zionism. I think one major reason is because a lot of people just do not know about Christian Zionism. And many who do know about Christian Zionism don't know about the immense power and influence of that movement and its historical trajectory of predating Jewish Zionism. Jewish Zionism is much more readily visible and identifiable to many through the State of Israel, but also through so many of our institutions in the United States. It cannot be separated from the fact that Jewish power is often hyper-visibilized and exaggerated in Western Christian contexts. And in history, hyper-visibilizing Jews in European Christian contexts has been intentional. The hyper-visibilization of Jews invisibilizes the more powerful Christian elite and protects them when the most oppressed folks rise up, because then they can scapegoat the Jews. I would say that the fact that so much of the discourse around Zionism is implicitly referring to Jewish Zionism is intentional and serves a much larger political purpose. This allows equating Zionism with Jews allows Israel to claim that it represents the Jewish people, and therefore critics of Israel are inherently anti-Semitic because they are supposedly critiquing the Jewish people as a whole. If people were to acknowledge that Zionism as a movement to establish a Jewish nation state in Palestine was a Christian movement long before it was a Jewish one, and acknowledge that the vast majority of Zionists today are Christian and not Jews, it would throw a wrench into the claim that Jews are somehow equivalent to Israel in Zionism. And it would disrupt the narrative that Israel is primarily serving and influenced by Jewish interests rather than Christian evangelical interests.
Speaking specifically about Christian Zionism, in what ways does Christian Zionism play into American politics in terms of impact on platforms, on policies, but also lobbying groups?
From the information we gave earlier, it'll be no surprise that the largest pro-Israel lobby in the U.S. is the Christian pro-Israel lobby. Christians United for Israel is the largest of those groups and claims to have 10 million members. That's compared to around 100,000 members that like AIPAC claims to have, right? So we're talking numbers-wise, just massive organization. The former Israeli ambassador, Ron Dermer, in a recent interview said that
the backbone of Israel's support in the United States is the evangelical Christians. That's the backbone. And it's true because of numbers and also because of their passionate and unequivocal support for Israel. Look at
numbers. And so I think that's something that's been missing from our analysis of why is the U.S. so pro-Israel, and is an important thing to bring in, because it shows the connections between the support for right-wing Israeli policies and the support for right-wing policies here in the U.S. Christian Zionists are part of this Christian nationalist evangelical fundamentalist movement that is also very anti-women, anti-LGBTQ, anti-Muslim rights as well, and has a history of racism also. And while there's a lot of focus on that within like Christian nationalist movements, a lot of people don't talk about the foreign policy objects of Christian nationalists, which Christian Zionism is kind of the main paradigm that they are working in. A lot of the, like, within a Christian Zionist framework, Arabs and Muslims play no role other than the enemies of God's will, which justifies wars in Iraq, sanctions against Iran, like all of these really dehumanizing U.S. policies towards Arabs and Muslims in general are bolstered by a Christian Zionist foundation. Also, the Christian Zionism obviously pushes Republicans a lot more than it pushes Democrats, but it has a huge influence on the left as well. Back during the election, I saw a list of pastors who supported Joe Biden during the election, and there were a number of Christian Zionists within that group. I sometimes tell the story. some friends in Atlanta back, it might have been a decade now, were going to visit John Lewis's office, right? So to talk about Palestine. So you got one of the most progressive folks in Congress. And basically his aide said, look, y'all are here, but I hear from 10 times as many Christian Zionists in my constituency than I hear from you. And so this is not just an issue on the right. This is something that affects US policy in general.
So what types of policies are organizations like Kufi lobbying for?
Well, we really got a clear view of exactly that under Trump's administration. Most of his Israel policies that broke with, many of which broke from decades of US foreign policy, were largely appeasing his evangelical Christian base, who voted for him at a margin of 4-1, or 80% voted for Trump. And just as a comparison, at least around 70 or more percent of Jews voted against Trump. So he was really appeasing his evangelical Christian base on Israel policy, not its Jewish base. And there were also avowed Christian Zionists high up in his administration, including Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So the influence of Christian Zionism in the Trump administration was quite huge. And that did lead to quite extreme policies that cut funding to UNRWA, which is the UN agency responsible for supporting Palestinian refugees, recognizing Israel's illegitimate claim to the Golan Heights, which was occupied in 67, moving the US embassy to Jerusalem. And in the ceremony opening that embassy, we saw powerful Christian Zionists giving speeches like John Hagee and Robert Jeffress, who are deeply anti-Semitic, avowedly anti-Muslim, and certainly anti-Palestinian. And Trump's decision to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal was also largely influenced by his Christian Zionist base. So these extreme policies were the result of decades of Christian Zionist organizing.
A lot of these policies Biden hasn't undone, right? So even though Trump didn't win a second election, Christian Zionism was able to shift the conversation further right around Palestine. The embassy is still there, even though like AIPAC basically sat that conversation out. And Trump literally said, I did that one for the evangelicals, partially because Christian Zionists don't care if pursuing their policies were to cause more war or more strife, because literally Israel is just a pawn in an end time scheme to them. There's not a care for the humanity of the people there. There's a care for, this is the game plan. And the game plan involves, in the end, a lot of war and death and like literally damnation for a lot of people. And so we need to work towards that. And Israel is our ticket towards it.
So what is the relationship like, if there is one, between Christians United for Israel and AIPAC?
That is a really great question, and one that is really hard to find out. There's certainly been some people who have like worked for both organizations, and AIPAC actively recruits KUFI members. Like they have a AIPAC for churches kind of thing that connects the two, and they are aligned on a lot of policy. And if you actually listen to politicians' speeches when they go to AIPAC, they're often, I'm like, that line was said for the Christian Zionist audience that's also watching this, because it's a much bigger audience, right? But like how much collusion there is, it's actually hard to say. There's a lot of shadowy stuff, especially at KUFI. Being a Christian organization, it's actually shielded from some of the reporting that it should have to do, particularly around money. Literally, most of KUFI is labeled as a church so that they can avoid certain kinds of reporting on where the funding is going.
CUFI goes beyond the scope of what AIPAC will lobby for, but AIPAC is not necessarily always in defiance of what CUFI ends up pushing.
Something I'm curious about with Christians United for Israel is that there are kind of like within AIPAC and Jewish Zionism, there have been people who have said, we're Zionists, but we don't agree with the policies that AIPAC is pushing for or with the politicians they've aligned themselves with. So other things like this Democratic Majority for Israel have been formed. And so I'm wondering, you're talking about kind of the extremism of CUFI. Is there kind of this like middle, like they present themselves as being more middle ground within evangelical Christian Zionism? Is that a fair comparison to even make?
Yeah, it does make sense. And these do exist, kind of trying to rebrand Christian Zionism. There's a theologian, in air quotes, who wrote a book, The New Christian Zionism, which, as I read it, actually seems more anti-Semitic than the old Christian Zionism, which completely surprised me. And there's an organization called the Philos Project that kind of puts a neoliberal spin on Christian Zionism. There's a pair of Palestinian Christians that wrote a great critique on Philos that's basically just doing a facelift of kind of the Christian Zionist talking points to make it appear slightly less racist than CUFI would come off. They're not as openly anti-Muslim, but very clearly, like if you read between the lines, they are anti-Muslim. And like, there's not much wiggle room in the ideology. Like once it starts to break down, people, that it's really hard to find that kind of middle ground when it comes to Christian Zionism. So for me, I think this is an opportunity where you can see massive shifts in people. And we're even starting to see it with younger evangelicals who, as they're more aware of what's actually happening in Palestine, like it doesn't gel with the whole, all of the prophecies that Christian Zionist leaders said were going to happen there. And they're like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit. And so you're seeing massive shifts amongst younger evangelicals away from Christian Zionism.
What does Christian Zionism look like in Israel and Palestine? And is it possible to distinguish kind of some of the like Christian Zionism activity from Jewish Zionist activity, whether that's in terms of tourism or visits from political leaders, or is it all kind of meshed together?
There's certainly some meshing between Christian Zionist and Jewish Zionist interests in Palestine. At the same time, as Aidan was saying earlier, Christian Zionists tend to push for the most colonial policies, right? Christian Zionists are far more supportive of Jewish-only Israeli settlements in the West Bank than American Jews are, for example. So you have an organization like International Fellowship of Christians and Jews that directly funds Israeli settlers as a 501c3 in the US, right? So you have both the direct stuff, plus you have the multi-billion dollar Christian tourism industry that really is built to perpetuate a Christian Zionist narrative of what's going on in Palestine. What's amazing is that on these tours, people will certainly never talk to a Palestinian, including a Palestinian Christian. But they also have very little interaction with Israelis because they're there to see like what happened in the Bible and implicitly draw a direct line to the current state of Israel, erasing Palestinian existence on land, erasing 2,000 years of Ottoman rule in that land, erasing stories of Palestinian Jews and Palestinian Christians. And ignoring like the indigenous people of the land. this industry has also been used to perpetuate Israel's ethnic cleansing, particularly in Jerusalem. So over the last few weeks, the uprising in Sheikh Jarrah against the expulsions, as well as in the El Bastan neighborhood of Silwan, where hundreds of Palestinians are under threat of having their homes demolished. And the excuse for demolishing those homes that Israel is using is that they want to build a biblical tourist site, which is obviously most of the biblical tourists that come are Christian, right? And it's part of the City of David project. And in order to do the excavation and build the site, like, that's the excuse to get rid of Palestinians, to depopulate Palestinians from Jerusalem. And Christian pilgrimages are very happy to go to those sites and to perpetuate that ethnic cleansing and the narrative that, like, there's been nothing there since biblical times. I know many organizations that have started trying to do more ethical tourism in Palestine, where people actually talk to and meet Palestinians, talk to Christian communities in Israel and in Palestine, in the West Bank.
So why is it important to talk about Christian Zionism at this particular moment in time, if this movement has been growing and evolving for years, politically very established? What was the motivation for you all to release this Truth Out piece at this time?
It's always been important to talk about, and in particular, coming off of the Trump years, it's that much clearer the power and influence that Christian Zionism have. And in my circles on my social media, I saw very little discourse around Christian Zionism. And it's even more shocking when you consider the proportion of Christian Zionists that exist in the world, how little discourse there is in progressive left and Palestine solidarity spaces on this movement. And so for me, it was about really laying out who they are, the fact that they're the oldest Zionist movement, they're by far the largest Zionist movement, they're perhaps the most extreme anti-Palestinian Zionist movement, and they're very anti-Muslim, which goes hand in hand, and also anti-Semitic. And so long as we're not talking about Christian Zionism, we are complicit in allowing them to continue to be influential and be powerful. And that is a huge threat to Palestinians, huge threat to Muslims, and also a huge threat to Jews. And as Jonathan also mentioned, a lot of these folks are also lobbying against abortion, lobbying against queer and trans rights here in the US. So the threats are intersectional.
So there was one sentence from y'all's piece that really stood out to me that I was hoping to ask you about. You wrote, "The alignment of establishment Jewish organizations within right-wing anti-Semitic Christian organizations for the benefit of the Israeli right-wing is dangerous for progressive movements in Palestine, the United States, and around the world." Can you talk a little bit more about this and specifically what it means for progressive movements and for Palestinian liberation?
The Christian right in the US, but also around so much of the world, has an agenda of Christian supremacy, of privileging Christians and a particular Christian ideology over Jews, Muslims, Palestinians, including Palestinian Christians, queer people, trans people. Like, the Christian right brings together so much of the targeting that so many communities are facing. And so for Jewish organizations to align with the Christian right is in opposition to democracy and in opposition to the rights of so many people and the freedom, the dignity, the self-determination. And certainly when it comes to Palestine, these Christian right folks believe Palestinians don't exist and believe they're interchangeable with any Arab and should just flee or be displaced to any of the other Arab nations. many of them believe that. And so in terms of genocidal ideology, that is very central in a lot of these right-wing Christian organizations, let alone just the deep anti-Semitism of them. For establishment Jewish organizations to align with these anti-Semitic organizations is alarming, but also when, again, we come back to power and we think about, actually, this is about power, it's not about Jewish safety, it actually makes sense. And it makes sense that the Israeli government is aligning with far-right anti-Semitic leaders, such as in Hungary.
And I think naming like the role that Christians play in this, like, gets rid of the problematic and false binary of like Jews versus Palestinians by naming those with power in the situation. Yeah, and I think about the importance of like the left recognizing this. A few years ago when Ilhan Omar got the vitriolic pushback for rightly naming the coercive effects of lobbying groups like AIPAC on our democracy, like imagine if she would have just said AIPAC and CUFI. You know, it would have been much more accurate portrayal of power and harder to denounce her analysis. So I think like one of the things that I want to say is when people talk about the Israel lobby, like name the Christian Zionist lobby within the Christian Zionist power within that. Name Christian Zionism as a power player in what's going on in Israel Palestine. That should be an easy movement that we all can agree is wrong, and we need to be fighting back against it.
I'm curious what it was like, what it is like researching Christian Zionism from each of your individual perspectives.
For me, coming from a Palestinian Christian perspective, and as someone who, like, I attended an evangelical college for my undergrad, so had a lot of interactions with evangelicals, and found that while, like, I think the stats are right, they're like 80% of evangelicals would be pro-Israel. Having one conversation with them, 90% of that 80% would be like, oh, I never really thought of it that way. Like, it's just an ideology that had never been challenged. And so to recognize Christian Zionists as a hugely influential group that has not actually, that doesn't hold this super deeply. Like, this is not, there's not an existential connection with Israel that Christian Zionists have, and that they're like wreaking havoc on so much. Folks that adhere to Christian Zionism, there's an internal contradiction with what they believe currently about Palestinians and like what they believe about themselves as like Christians who are trying to be good, who are trying to like follow Jesus, to love everyone, and by exposing them to the realities of the effects of their theology, I have seen transformation on like the individual or congregational level as well when people are actually exposed to this. All traditions have a strain that is going towards hegemonic power. Christianity, that strain has gotten much bigger than most other traditions. And all traditions have a strain that is liberatory. I, as a Palestinian Christian, spent a lot of time with anti-Zionist Jewish folks and Muslims that are part of liberation theology traditions as well, that are finding the liberatory strains within our traditions and fighting against those strains that are hegemonic, that are colonial, that are patriarchal.
Yeah, and I come to this from just on, in the most honest way possible, from the truest sense of love for myself and love for my people and communities. Only in the last 5 years did I really begin asking why my Jewish family in Eastern Europe had been targeted for so long. Why were they killed in pogroms? Why were they murdered in the Holocaust? Why did they have to be refugees in Palestine and later became Israelis? And why did they have to be refugees in the United States? And when I ask the question, why were they targeted? From who? And I credit Dr. Phyllis Jackson, a professor of mine in college, with teaching me this. But when I ask why and keep my focus on systemic power always, it becomes clear what the roots are and what's behind all of this. And it's white Christian supremacy, that system that is responsible for the Inquisition up, you know, and before the Inquisition, but things like the Inquisition, the Holocaust, pogroms, and millennia of anti-Semitism. And so when I look at where white Christian supremacy shows up today, Christian Zionism is staring me straight in the face. You can't ignore it. I come to this work because I love myself and my people, and I want us to survive. But I also know that Palestinians working to decolonize their land are actually leading the fight against white Christian supremacy. And like, this is like, that is where our liberations are intertwined. So that spells out like what my personal stake is as an Ashkenazi Jewish person. But also, it's important for me to underscore that while I have a stake in this, I also show up because of my values and my morals that ethnic cleansing and apartheid and colonization are happening. And it's imperative for me and my people and all people to show up in solidarity with Palestine because of that. And I name my stake, and I name why I personally need to fight Christian Zionism in order to disrupt any savior narrative that might be implied if I only talk about the moral reasons of me showing up for Palestinian liberation.
You've both kind of used the phrase like doing this work or challenging Christian Zionism. And I'm wondering tangibly what that is looking like for each of you.
The last 2 years I have been part of protests disrupting Christians United for Israel summits. So very explicitly disrupting their attempts to push their narrative at the national scale. 2 years ago, we interrupted John Hagee and Mike Pence during their speeches. And then last year when he was online, we actually, we hijacked their hashtag and used it to spread true information instead of the false information that they were spreading on social media. And so doing it at that level, as well as equipping individuals to talk about it within their communities, particularly for Christians that regardless of how liberal or progressive they might be, probably know someone who holds these ideologies. And how do you broach that conversation instead of just hanging out with other progressives? How do you actually do the work of challenging those in your community?
I think I might be a little newer to this particular in terms of challenging Christian Zionism than Jonathan is. And the way that I have been active around it, though, has largely taken place in Jewish communities, in progressive, lefty Jewish communities, trying to shift the narrative away from Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which, as Jonathan mentioned, insinuates this binary, and also implies that there are only two stakeholders, when that's clearly not true. Christian Zionism disrupts that myth. But also shifting the narrative around power that often comes up in progressive Jewish spaces and even Palestine solidarity spaces around focusing fully on Jewish establishment organizations without connecting to the larger power of Christian Zionism and US imperialism. And in a Jewish context, that also reframes the conversation on anti-Semitism that demonstrates that the greatest anti-Semitic threat are these powerful Christian Zionists. And that's actually always been that's actually been the case for a long time. And it just focused away from the narrative that critics of Israel, in particular Palestinians, are the greatest anti-Semitic threat. So I'm trying to bring in this power analysis to reshift focus towards power, towards Christian nationalism, towards US imperialism.
Unsettled is produced by Max Friedman, Asaf Calderon, Alana Levinson, and me, Emily Bell. Original music by Nat Rosenzweig. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. You'll find a link to Aidan Orley and Jonathan Brenneman's Truth Out op-ed, Progressives Can't Ignore Role of Christian Zionism in Colonization of Palestine, in our show notes. To learn more about biblical tourism and hear the story of a Palestinian family fighting to stay in their home in Jerusalem, listen to our piece produced in collaboration with Plus 972 magazine, also in the show notes. If you liked this episode of Unsettled, we'd love for you to leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode of Unsettled.